the Coast Guard's approving a device that simply replaces our existing current capability out in the field, where we have a Wind Mobile 6X device, and we were in a position where that hardware became obsolete and is no longer supported, no longer available. So the Coast Guard has had a 10-plus year relationship with our friends from Good Mobile Messaging, and we're basically leveraging that relationship to continue on onto the next generation platform. The architecture that we have, we wanted to stay with, and so by working with our partners in Good, we are leveraging the iOS platform as well as the Android platform, where Good has developed their product for those two hardware devices.
So, of course, both of those operating systems, iOS and Android, offer tablets as well as smartphones for wireless email. Are you contemplating tablet devices as well, or just basically cell phones at this point?
At this point, we've limited it strictly to those non-tablet form factors. Eventually, we will get to a tablet-based platform. However, this initial effort is strictly limited to a handheld PDA sort of device.
So beyond the fact that you're replacing obsolete devices that you can't procure anymore, what are the other use cases for these devices? How do they help you meet your mission in ways that the current devices don't?
Well, the next generation platforms, when we start talking about Android and the iOS devices, the functionality that the Coast Guard's replacing really is the same. However, we're not limiting the end user to not enjoy some of those functions. The Coast Guard has a fairly restrictive policy when you're on a government endpoint device in terms of social media access and access to personal banking accounts or social media sites. And so because our users out in the field, you know, the lines between work and home blur very quickly, and because we have a mobile workforce, what this allows us to do is, without injecting risk on our infrastructure, we're able to allow the end users now to access their personal social media sites as well as their personal banking or otherwise sites, provided the end user's command have the service plans that support that. And then limited service plan is really what I'm speaking about. So that's an additional bonus, if you will, by users having these devices out in the field.
So if I'm understanding correctly, the Good Mobile Messaging software creates this secure sandbox on the device, right, where you conduct your government business in this separate encrypted environment. But then outside that virtual sandbox, it's basically still a standard smartphone, and you can essentially use it the way you'd use a personal device, right?
Yes, but the key is that each of our field commands have to provision those devices. And so based on their command's needs, if they have a light user, they may not have an unlimited use plan. We have an overarching government policy which limits personal use so that, you know, we don't get in a situation where the government is paying for personal use of an IT device. As a secondary measure, if you're away from home for a significant period of time, or your spouse or your children or people need to contact you, you're authorized to use it for example, on a cell phone for a short duration. In a similar fashion, we have the government use policy where allows for a limited amount of personal use because our duties may call us away when we need to make a banking transaction or when we need to wish our family a happy birthday while we're on the road and we're temporarily assigned on a duty. We can then communicate on a not-to-interfere basis, essentially, with our operations.
So are we talking about exclusively government-owned devices here, or might you allow for personally-owned devices with the special software installed on them?
What we've authorized is strictly government-owned devices, and part of the reason for that is that line that quickly gets blurred on who's paying for what portions of your IT access. It's not clear on if you had an unlimited plan that you've bought because you have a business need for it, who pays for what portion of that if 10 or 15% of your time you're on it for your own personal use. So that line is a difficult one at this time. So we chose not to broach that topic at this time.
Understood. Let's talk a little bit about how you're going to deploy these devices. I assume they're not going to go out to every single member tomorrow. Are you going to ramp this up slowly?
Right. The notion is that part of the compelling need for the Coast Guard to move to retain this sort of capability was because of the obsolescence of the hardware platform. So as these devices become unserviceable, they will be recapitalized at that time. So The Coast Guard's approach to this has been no new growth, because there was some fear that because now you're going onto a more modern platform, or a platform that has wide popularity, that there would be this great influx of commands and users that would desire that device.
Well, it sounds like you guys are pretty much ready to roll with these as your next platform. And by that, I mean this is not a pilot program with iPhones and Android devices like with what DoD is doing right now.
Right. So we're working very closely with our DoD and DHS counterparts, who are also dabbling in this market. So in terms of our infrastructure, there's a fundamental difference in how we deploy these devices. So with the way the Coast Guard has architected this system, the user does not have direct access into our internal infrastructure. We're basically going through a demilitarized zone, DMZ, for access to a server, which allows us to access email services.
If these devices are going to be used for email only at this point, am I right in assuming that that diminishes the level of security you need to put on them? Like, for example, you're not going to have common access card readers attached to each one of these phones.
Right. For the initial recapitalization event, we don't have CAT card readers attached to these devices. However, that's exactly where we want to go. So the vision is to actually make these into more capable devices, where we have mobile applications that are built for those platforms, still operating within the good mobile messaging client environment. And so that's where we want to go, and that's where the Coast Guard is developing initial capabilities to see what capability we actually can deliver to the mobile user. However, that increases the security risk, as that begins to encroach upon our internal infrastructure and thus increasing the security concerns. But as we've deployed it, we have less security concerns because the user does not touch the inside of our infrastructure.
And how far along are you guys in thinking through what Coast Guard-specific apps you might develop, how these devices might actually be used beyond the traditional email smartphone uses?
Well, we're in our infancy on that. There are a lot of potential. We expect within this following year to have an initial capability on some enterprise capabilities that would help us in a response scenario. If you think about the Deepwater Horizon response scenario, there are applications which would have been nice to have on the device. For example, a GIS system for information mapping purposes and for mapping where Coast Guard units and people are in a very distributed environment. That is one example of many that I can see the Coast Guard leveraging the good Android platform to try to develop applications to take advantage of that environment.